We're going to talk about God's wisdom in friendship. Now, I hope that most of you, if not all of you, would agree with me when I say that intentional time set aside with good friends is vitally important for a healthy life. This is where we have an opportunity to share our deepest thoughts and feelings with people that we care about and people that we enjoy being with. And this is a gift that, at least for myself, I often take for granted. I'm guessing it's the same for you. But we've all had those opportunities of opening our hearts to someone else and inviting them to open their hearts to us. This is deep relationship that we're talking about. And you know, the biblical image of walking together is kind of a beautiful description of this kind of relationship. Walking together with close brothers and sisters, with close friends. And, you know, when we do that, we engage in a variety of different things, you know. Sometimes a conflict is resolved. Sometimes a commitment is made or a bond is established or further established. Sometimes a burden is brought into the open and there's an invitation to share that burden. And it's a beautiful thing. And as I mentioned before, the Bible talks a lot about doing life not individually, it talks about doing life in community. And when Proverbs speaks about walking together, it's referring to the kind of walk that we enjoy with you know, just a handful of companions over the course of many years, and in some cases, for an entire lifetime. And I know, you know, most of us have all kinds of acquaintances. We have casual friends, and we have people at work that we spend a lot of time with. We have a lot of people who pass in and out of our lives, and for a season anyway, there may even be opportunities to share some deep thoughts and feelings. But what Proverbs is talking about here, and what it's communicating is that, you know, if we're fortunate and if we're intentional about it and if we're looking for it, then all of us who are in Christ will develop a few close friends who become increasingly important to us as the years go by. People that on a regular basis we can enjoy deep fellowship with. People whose lives in significant and impactful ways kind of come to intertwine with our own. The Bible talks in a lot of different places about the value of those kind of friendships. And one of my favorite places is in Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 12. And oftentimes, this is a text that I will preach for a wedding ceremony, but it applies to good friends just as much, if not more. It says this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And that's kind of the surprise in that passage. So if you've ever been to a wedding ceremony that I do, that's kind of the surprise at the end, because we're talking two, and then all of a sudden that last line, a cord of three strands cannot be broken. And of course, the third strand is God, right? And so I think that that's a wonderful picture, a wonderful description of the kind of friendships that God intends for us to have. And also embedded in that is his promise that he will be right there at the center of those kind of close relationships. And so I would put forth that God's word suggests that all of us should be mindful of building up little teams of people with whom we can walk through life. People who can help us to try again in the aftermath of failing in something. People who are there to encourage us when we feel discouraged, which inevitably I think we all feel sometimes. People who lighten our workload when it's too heavy for us to bear. People who comfort us and give us strength against the evil forces and temptations and trials that we face over the course of our lives. But you know, along with this encouragement to develop close friends, the Bible kind of, it goes beyond that and gives us a warning as well. And we saw that in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 13, where it says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." So yes, it's extremely important to have close relationships. But having said that, the Bible says, it's extremely important to have close relationships with the right kind of people as well. And so yes, we ought to walk closely with a handful of friends, but we need to be very careful about who we choose as those kind of friends. Because wise friends will make us wise, and foolish friends will not just make us foolish, but will actually bring us harm. And I think the reason for that is that when we're talking about deep relationships, when we're talking about close friends, close friends are more deeply and intricately connected than we might think. I know that, you know, for people in our culture, we like to envision ourselves as free agents, rugged individuals. But even though we see ourselves that way, we are joined to our close friends by something that's been described like a permeable membrane. Permeable membranes are, you know, I think of that within the body, those ultra-thin walls through which particles can move back and forth. And what passes between close friends kind of operate the same way. What passes between friends in a close relationship are very important things like values and morals and convictions and habits and goals. Those things travel back and forth between individuals in a deeply connected relationship. And so despite those illusions of individuality, we end up being deeply affected by either the wisdom or the foolishness of our closest friends. This means that if we are mindful, if we are intentional about growing in our faith, we can enhance our chances of doing that by choosing the right friends. Now, obviously, the flip side is also true. Yes, wise friends make us wise. Wise friends invest in us, trying to kind of bring us to who we ought to be and who we can be. But foolish friends can have that effect as well, can change us into more foolish people, can draw us into situations where we get into trouble. Their folly can seep into our lives and kind of taint our own desires and our goals. Their faulty moral compasses can steer us off course, and their distortions of the truth can undermine our understanding of God and his ways. So you want a New Testament reference that says the same sort of thing? Look to 1 Corinthians 15:33, where Paul says to the Corinthian church, don't be mistled. Bad company corrupts good character. And so I guess, you know, the first thing we need to ask ourselves is, you know, what kind of person do I want to become? First things first, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of person do I want to become? And you know, when we're using God's word as a guide, once we answer that question, the rest really isn't that difficult. It's actually pretty easy. If we choose to be a person that honors and pleases God, then we choose to walk with people whose thoughts and words and actions are the kind that we would like to claim as our own. Now, to be very clear, I'm really not talking about issues of personality or lifestyle or spiritual giftedness or talents or careers, because you know, close friends can differ widely in those areas. What I'm talking about are the deeper issues, the more important issues of integrity and character. So if we're committed to following God's path and growing in these areas that we've been talking about through Proverbs, these areas of wisdom and taking initiative and goodness and truth and discipline, etc., then we should intentionally surround ourselves with people who exhibit those qualities. And the Bible tells us that as our friendships with people like this grows, then our own integrity and our own character grow and develop as well. And so Proverbs gives us a number of things to think about in choosing our friends wisely. And the first bit of advice I'd like to point out is actually put in the negative in the book of Proverbs. It describes the kind of people that we should not pursue close friendships with. Now, before I go any further, this doesn't mean that people like what I'm about to describe don't matter to God. Of course they do. They certainly matter to God. And when it comes to those kind of people, we should use every opportunity that we have to be kind to them and to love them and to serve them and to patiently point them to the love of God as found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they're not the kind of people, at least as they persist in their foolishness and their wickedness, they're not the kind of people that we should invite into our inner circle, that we should invite to walk closely with through life. We read about these kind of people in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19, where it says, "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers." Now, what Proverbs is saying is that whenever we encounter someone who exhibits these kind of characteristics, we should have red flags going up everywhere. This is not the kind of person that we should count among our intimate circle of friends. Now again, this doesn't mean that we should consider a person like this insignificant to God, but it does mean that we should never give him or her a position of influence, of deep relationship in our lives. So let's go through these things and talk about what they mean. The first one that I mentioned was haughty eyes. And this refers to somebody who has this kind of overarching sense of superiority. Someone who is constantly communicating that, you know what, I have value and the rest of you are worthless. I'm a winner, you're a loser. I mean, do you want close friends that are headed for destruction? Then steer clear of people with haughty eyes, Steer clear of people that have a holier-than-thou attitude. That would be more religious speak for this kind of person. Don't let their view of life characterize your view of life, and don't let their future become your future. Second thing mentioned there is a lying tongue. We know what a lying tongue is. But what Proverbs is telling us is that you can't walk closely with someone who is careless with the truth. Because without question, if you choose close friends that are careless with the truth, you are going to get burned. You are going to get hurt. You are going to pay the price for choosing friends like that, because inevitably they are going to deceive and betray you. Some of you know what that's like. Some of you know that when that happens, the pain is excruciating. Third thing that Proverbs mentions is hands that shed innocent blood. Now, like the commandment saying, do not murder, this actually covers a lot more territory than we might think. It covers a lot more than just the physical shedding of blood, because innocent people can be destroyed in a wide variety of ways. It happens every time those who are weak and powerless are violated by those who are strong. And every time that happens, don't be deceived, God hates it. And so the writer of Proverbs tells us to steer clear of people who abuse their power. Steer clear of people who devalue others. Steer clear of people whose hearts are not moved by people's trials and their suffering. Steer clear of people who take advantage of others' vulnerability. Four, hearts that devise wicked schemes and feet that run quickly to evil. This is an easy one. Proverbs tells us to watch out for anybody who can design and implement and then justify evil plans. Number five, a false witness who utters lies. Now, on the surface, this might sound the same as the warning against the person with the lying tongue, but this phrase refers to something a little bit more specific than that. This phrase refers to someone who has a slandering tongue. And so if we encounter people who are very quick to pass along damaging information about other people, or those who are unable to keep sensitive information about people confidential, we can be assured, whether it's about us or not, we can be assured that this is not a safe person to get close to. And then finally, one who creates dissension among brothers. Proverbs 16:28 speaks to this too. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Do you know anyone who just can't help themselves? They just constantly have to stir the pot. Have you ever tried to have a relationship with someone who has a habit of nursing grudges against other people? Proverbs tells us that people like that are perverse. It says that people like that are determined to do what's wrong. And so the Bible does not consider this activity of spreading strife something to be tolerated. It's a complete perversion of what it means to have integrity and to be honorable. And why is spreading strife so perverse? Because any person who has been miraculously reconciled to God by the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus Christ has received the spirit of reconciliation. This means that anytime a problem arises in a relationship, the Spirit of God starts whispering to those who have given themselves over to Jesus Christ. The Spirit whispers, let's resolve this quickly. Let's resolve this as completely as possible. And so anyone who claims to be a follower of Christ but enjoys creating dissension has willfully chosen not to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice of reconciliation. It's a deliberate turning away from what is right, and that person is actually guilty of perverting God. the gospel of reconciliation. That's why in Matthew 5, verse 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." So Proverbs 13, 20 again, "He who walks with the wise grow wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." According to Proverbs, it's not going to work. Life is not going to work if we surround ourselves with the wrong kinds of people. We need to walk with wise and godly people. And so who are wise and godly people? Well, they're the opposite of fools. They are people whose character represents the flip side of those things that we just talked about, those things that are detestable to God. And so we surround ourselves with people who are humble and have teachable spirits. We surround ourselves with people who delight in encouraging and serving others. We surround ourselves with people whose intimacy with Christ draws them into a heartfelt union with everything and everybody Christ himself loves. We surround ourselves with people who speak the truth because by their example, we're called to higher levels and standards of honesty. We surround ourselves with people who are tender-hearted and merciful, people committed to fighting the cause of freedom, people committed to lifting up the downtrodden, healing the sick, caring for the abandoned, bringing comfort to the grieving, ministering to the imprisoned, offering food and shelter to the genuinely needy. And I want you to imagine for a minute. I want you to imagine for a minute, because this is my vision for this little group of people, for this congregation. Imagine the power for good that would be unleashed in a group of friends like this. In a group of friends like this, we who consistently encourage one another to act with love and grace, both among ourselves and as we relate outside of these doors. See, this is the place where we have the opportunity to surround ourselves with friends of high integrity, friends who are beyond reproach, friends who will pull us to higher levels of character, help us to be the best that we can be for God's glory. We surround ourselves with people to whom we can bear our heart and our souls and our deepest struggles, knowing that the information that we share will be kept confidential, that we are safe in those relationships. And in an atmosphere of such safety and confidentiality, we can truly explore the deeper realities of our spiritual and emotional and relational lives. The kind of lives that God wants for us. Taking joy in the kind of relationships that God wants for us. So are you ready to actively pursue significant relationships with the right kind of people? Would you like to walk through life with friends like that? As I said before, our close friends are one of the most significant keys to our own personal growth and our own joy, because they provide us with a tremendous resources of insight and wisdom and counsel. And they enrich our lives far more deeply than pretty much anything else I can think of. Any goal that I can achieve, any possession I can acquire, any position I could attain. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Consistent love and help during the rough times. Why would we not pursue those kind of relationships? You know, the life that you and I are living right this very minute, these are real lives. I mean, this is it. This is our chance. And the Bible says that this whole grand adventure that we call life was meant to be done in community. So one of the most critical decisions we face is choosing the right people with whom to do this adventure. So what is this telling us? It's telling us that we need to be intentional about investing in Christian community. If we want to become that all that God has intended us to be, we need to surround ourselves with godly people who can challenge and encourage us. That's what the church is all about. If we only have one chance at life, why not do it the way God designed it, in Christ? Amen. Let's pray.